Sterling, Saturday night, 700 WLW. Glad you're along. More on Bobby Huggins' situation at West Virginia coming up a little bit later. The 10:30 report, if not sooner. In the news for a long, long time, and we've seen the states fall one by one like dominoes when it comes to medical marijuana, cannabis. In many cases, it's a situation now where, recreationally speaking, it's one of those things that is becoming more and more commonplace. Hard to go through a parking lot, walk through a grocery store or anywhere else, walk through a neighborhood, depending with your dog or your kids, not to get a big whiff of a lot of that weed smoke that is in the air. And, of course, all the edibles, can't smell those. And something that's unusual, and it's been an issue for professional athletes for a long time, college athletes, performance-enhancing drug testing that goes on, for unfair advantage and so forth. And a lot of athletes over the years have found themselves suspended or losing their opportunity to play as a result of ingesting that weed. And a guy who knows a little bit about that from Weed and Whiskey TV is Jerry Joyner. Welcome to 700 WLW with Sterling. How are you?
If I was doing any better, Sterling, I'd need a twin brother.
That's
not right for one guy to enjoy life so much.
It sounds like you're having a good time. News in the last couple of days, pretty interesting, from the NCAA Medical Committee. They are recommending marijuana be taken off of that banned drug list and saying that testing should be limited to truly performance-enhancing substances. I guess, Jerry, the question is, is weed ever a performance-enhancing drug, in your opinion, aside from the whiskey and weed mix, which is really a stay-home, sit-in-the-chair-and-enjoy-your-day kind of thing, I'm guessing?
Yeah, Sterling, if you're going to crossfade, if that's taking a little bit of weed and a little bit of whiskey and enjoying them both at the same time, stationary somewhere, highly recommend it.
For sure.
You know, the non-performing or non-performance-enhancing aspect of that in athletics is kind of been proven with several white papers now. Willie Nelson, of course, he needs that to perform his tunes and do his writing. But there's no advantage that Sha'Carri Richardson or Michael Phelps or even Ricky Williams got when they were in college from using cannabis. So that's why they're saying this. But I think there's another reason, Sterling.
That would be
money.
What? Money.
Money.
Where are they getting money out of that then by letting these guys continue to play if they test positive or not testing?
Well, let's think about it from a bigger perspective. College follows pro sports. Pro sports is now letting CBD companies, i.e. Major League Baseball and Charlotte's Web, have gotten together. It's a $30 million deal over 3 years. Mm. And so as we know that sponsorships and advertising is such a big part of what collegiate sports are, I think there's an underlying reason. They're going to want, in 5 years, you'll see advertising for CBD and probably even THC products in the collegiate athletics advertising program.
Talking to Jerry J-Man Joyner from Weed and Whiskey TV. I'm dyslexic, not high at the moment on a Saturday night, Sterling. I appreciate you being here. From this story that has come out talking about the NCAA medical committee that said that they think THC should be removed from that list, apparently the World Anti-Doping Agency, that I guess they deal with Olympic stuff and a lot of other international competition, they had already increased the THC threshold, that for the psychoactive part of the marijuana or the cannabis, right? That's what gets you high and makes you feel good, not the stuff necessarily that helps with aches and pains and a lot of other stuff, from 35 to 150 nanograms per milliliter. I have no idea what that even means generally, and I've had to take drug tests, believe it or not, to work on the radio. I've had to take drug tests when I worked for in the automotive industry because I didn't want you driving, you know, vehicles or whatever else, high or what have you. But there's a lot of people that get tested. What do you know about this nanogram per milliliter thing that now the NCAA is recommending that it be adjusted, just like with the World Anti-Doping Agency?
Starting, I'm a plain talker and a straight shooter, so I'm going to try to make this in layman's terms as best that I can. Okay, the THC, the cannabinoids, are fat-soluble in a person's body. So I could smoke a joint today, and 4 or 5 days from now, having no effect on me whatsoever, I'm still going to test at a pretty high level of being positive. So by increasing the threshold, making more, allowing for more particulates or nanoparticles, man, those are big words.
They are. I know,
man. But meaning there's a little more tolerance it allows in there. Somebody that uses cannabis from a smoking fashion, that can stay in their system for 30 to 45 days even on a urine test. And that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Now, this is being navigated on a whole lot of fronts now. And the way the economy has been in a tight job market where it's been hard to find people to come to work, no matter how much you want to offer in many cases, with so many people using cannabis products in some fashion or another, many businesses aren't even testing for that unless they have to because it's an OSHA thing or something along those lines, truly using heavy machinery where severe danger is involved and so forth. So this is becoming much more commonplace across the U.S. Is it surprising that the NCAA is having their medical committee recommend this at this point in time, or is it just sort of the next logical step because of where we are as a society?
I think it's the next logical step, Sterling. That's a great point, because of where we're at with, as a society. Amazon no longer uses cannabis as on the drug marking test as a condition of employment. That's you know, I mean, that's why they got that big smile on all their logos on the side of their trucks, right?
Nice. I like it. What's interesting to me is because it has become so commonplace at this point, but it is still an issue for some people who aren't wise enough to say, you know what, maybe I ought to get an Uber, maybe I ought to get a cab, maybe I ought to just stay home or get somebody else to drive me. And that's whether they're drinking whiskey, which you're an aficionado of, or the weed, if you will, in this particular time. But when we talk about performance enhancement, what type of job situation or activities do you think that the use of cannabis that's psychoactively at a level where it's going to provide you some benefit, calming you down or whatever it is, does it help with focus? What do you think the benefit is, and what job situation would it, could it help you maybe?
You know, that's a great question, and there's a lot of variables in that because everybody's endocannabinoid system works a little bit differently. That's why you see hear these stories, somebody did an edible and they're acting like a chicken walking down the street, but somebody else can take a lot of cannabis and not really seem to affect them. It's the same thing with alcohol, TV, food. We got to have common sense and use things in moderation. This plant, in moderation and used correctly, has tremendous benefits for people besides getting a buzz and getting high. Yep. I mean, typically that's what somebody drinks a beer for or has a whiskey. It's not as much for the medicinal aspects of that. So you get both with the marijuana plant.
As we sit here now in June 2023, where do you think we'll be a year from now with this? In all the talk about competition and issues like that, I mean, the NBA for a long number of years now, a lot of guys talking about getting high and smoking weed. Some of it's made the news when they maybe tested positive or maybe been out and about and caught or whatever else. And those guys play at an insanely high level, right? You never hear anybody, oh, he fell and blew out his knee or busted up his ankle because he was high on the weed. You don't hear that. So I'm just curious, a year from now, 2 years from now, as this becomes more commonplace, what do you think we'll be looking at worldwide, let alone the NCAA, if they move ahead with the recommendation from the medical community?
Well, you brought up the worldwide, Sterling, and you know there are a lot of Colombia just recently passed legislation to be able to export cannabis to the United States. So you know, we're seeing a lot of industries besides the psychotropic weed that everybody thinks about, let's go smoke a joint, let's smoke pot. You know, this hemp industry, it's blowing up. It's really, really huge. The overall industry, $32 billion in 2022, 2023, looks like maybe close to $30 billion by 2028. They're talking maybe $100 billion industry. So as more and more people are accepting the wellness of the plant-based medicine, and we've always enjoyed having a recreational thing here and there with our whiskey, with our beer, with our alcohol, with our wine, especially with the stress that we're under in today's time, why not make this more readily available to people and make it legal?
Explain, if you can, Jerry Joyner, by the way, from Weed and Whiskey TV, which you can find. I know you're on YouTube. Where else are they where people can find you?
Roku. We have a Roku channel. You can go to weedandwhiskey.tv. We put a weekly news show out on Fridays at 4:20 for my birthday. Son and I was born on April the 20th, 1960. I'm 63 years old, and for almost 50 years, 49 years, I've been using cannabis on a daily basis.
Has it had irreparable harm? You sound lucid, articulate, thoughtful. You don't sound like a wastoid who doesn't know what's going on, confused, slow to react. You're in the game. Stereotypically, they'd say by now you'd be almost like Tommy Chong's character on That 70s Show.
And that's that stereotype that we're still trying to overcome. My wife and I own Healthcare Art Consulting. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We put artwork in hospitals all over the country. It was a very successful business. The thing I believe that Weed and Whiskey TV manifested down at Willie Nelson's Ranch was to give dialogue that sick people are to have access to this plant.
Yep.
And not everybody that smokes weed, even all day long, like OJ Man, has orange Cheeto dust on their fingers.
That's awesome. I might have a neighbor like that I see regularly. You mentioned something interesting about the pharmaceutical end of it, which it's legal pharmaceutically in the state of Ohio. Kentucky, sooner than later, will be up with the dispensaries and so forth. Recreationally, it's not here, but it is in Michigan and surrounding us and a whole lot of places around the country. It's even become a tourist thing, and that's quite interesting, too. But you mentioned the exporting that Colombia has agreed to do. I don't know why the U.S. would allow it. And the reason I'm saying that is now with the pharmaceutical legal and recreational more and more legal, from what I understand from people in the industry, there is a glut of marijuana available and pricing issues compared to the black market for recreational, for instance, where the RX is only available at this point. So why would they want to import from out of the country when you have growers here stateside doing it legally who are not making the money they thought they would?
Yeah, it is a big problem with this overabundance. And it comes somewhat from the lateness of allowing so many people to get in the business. Oklahoma, for example, 10,000 people have a grower's license to commercially grow cannabis and sell that.
Wow.
But what you run into is you can only sell it within the state's borders that you're in many instances. It's really difficult for people to get this MSO, this multi-state operator. So I can grow cannabis in New York, but I can only sell it to New York dispensaries, okay?
Right.
There was a recent story about that. Well, you think with the 1,500 illegal dispensaries that they have now in New York or that they're talking about, he'd easily be able to go sell them his legal weed he grew. Well, those illegal dispensaries are most likely still selling what we used to call the black market, but now they refer to it as the legacy market. The guy used to call up and say, hey, man, can you bring me a sack of weed? And you got a plastic bag that you could see through and probably had a lot of stems and seeds in it. You know, I'm that old that I remember that. But that whole thing's changed. Now you go to these clinique-looking counters where they got microscopes and you're looking at their, they've got these edibles, these THC seltzers, Sterling, are taking a big chunk out of beer sales. They got less calories. They're refreshing. They have no alcohol. You don't have a hangover. There's one down in Houston, Texas coming out called Howdy. Sip Howdy is their name. And it's just like drinking a beer. It's a real low-dose THC seltzer. So these Delta 9 products are legal in virtually every state.
Yeah, that's part of that farm bill. The farm bill had a weird carve-out that sort of allowed a lot of that. There's a lot of strip shopping centers around Ohio. If you just drive through suburbia or anywhere for that matter, and you see these vape shops or smoke shops, and you can't go in there and buy like a pack of Marlboros or Winston, but you can buy a whole lot of what is weed, but somehow okay because it's a different Delta or whatever, which was beyond my pay grade and understanding. So... weird.
Yeah, it was the 2019 Farm Bill that allowed 0.3 THC, Delta 9 THC, which is a psychotropic aspect of the plant, by weight volume, okay? So that's why people in Ohio, okay, shout out to a guy that's from Ohio, Antonio Swad, the founder of Wingstop. He's now started a thing called Buck-A-Buzz, these low-dose THC gummies, $5 gummies, $5, Buck-A-Buzz. And he's fishing for those all over the country because it's a legal way for people to go in a convenience store or gas station and try this product. So it's going to be real interesting to see in the next few years how all this pans out.
Now, to bring this back around before we let you bounce, Jerry Joiners from Weed and Whiskey TV with Sterling on the big one. Do you think this is good for NCAA sports if the medical recommendation, their committee at the NCAA, gets the go-ahead and overall they decide to remove marijuana or cannabis or THC and the psychoactive drug, whatever, or increase that number to a point where it's not going to be a threshold where, you know, recreational use minimally is going to be a problem for these athletes. Is that good for the sport? Is that good for these, you know, student athletes? Is that good for the nation? Or are we going to have more of a problem overall because it's being so, pardon the pun, normalized?
Well, part of the normalization of that is the people want to use it, Sterling. So maybe it is smart to let's find a way to allow them to use that, but kind of keep a tab on that like they do with alcohol. I'm not an expert on that part of it, but I know the NCAA has some special rules about alcohol use for their athletes. Isn't that right?
No, I believe so. So I guess basically it boils down to pursuit of happiness and being responsible, handling your weed, handling your booze, not getting behind the wheel, and just being a responsible citizen regardless of what you do recreationally. I think that's basically a good rule of thumb in every part of life.
Yeah, NCAA has already kind of blazed that trail with their alcohol consumption. And, you know, there's other things. There's high caffeine drinks that I believe are illegal or they're prohibited for these athletes to use.
Could you get too hopped up? Yeah, a cup of coffee instead or something like that. I got you. Good talking to you. We'll have you on again. I appreciate you making time. Jerry Joyner, Weed and Whiskey TV. Appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And thank you for your perspective and insight.
Anytime, Sterling. Have a great evening.
You too, my man. Take care of yourself. You can find him on Twitter, at Sterling Radio. I got a link there. I'll get you to it. Quick break, come back. What do you think? Is this good for college sports? What about Bobby Huggins? We'll talk.